And welcome! You have found yourself at the Monkey Magic Podcast, a light-hearted and affectionate look back at the classic TV series Monkey, produced by Nippon TV and adapted from the classic Chinese novel Journey to the West. This podcast will take a nostalgic look back at this morals-infused adventure and consider what lessons we could learn for the 21st century. My name is JP. In this week's episode,
the Prime Minister of the Kingdom of Buddha's Laws invites Tripitaka and his disciples to stay as his honoured guests. He tells them of the difficulty in controlling the black magician, shape-changers and bandits who live in the nearby mountains. Tragedy strikes when Tripitaka becomes ill with Tibetan fever. Meanwhile, Pigsy leads the guards in a search for vampire responsible for a girl's murder. And he makes a shocking discovery.
Welcome to the Monkey Magic Podcast with me, your host, JP.
Welcome to the Monkey Magic Podcast. This week, episode 19, Vampire Master. As always, this review will be spoiler heavy. So if you have not seen the episode, I would suggest you go and watch it, then meet us back here. Episode 19. Okay, let's get into it. One night, the three disciples are having an argue about what keeps heaven and earth separated. Tripitaka, however, wants to go to a place where Buddhism is the state religion, the kingdom of Buddha's laws.
This quarrelling must end. We're on a holy journey and it's not proper. Monkey, listen. I think it's time we understood what this journey's for.
And it just so happens that that is coming up for them.
And within a very, very short space of time, they encounter some bandits who are attacking a man, and they chase them off.
The man that they've found, he's the Prime Minister of the Kingdom of Buddha's Law.
I mean, this guy's just wandering about. Like, it's like clearly the Prime Minister is not that important. And if he's just like he's not even getting a limo, there's no guards. Like, what's the point of being the Prime Minister then? Yeah, so maybe in this country, the Prime Minister is a much lower office. It's really little more than administrator, and he has to get the bus to work rather than the ministerial limo. Could be, eh?
And amazingly, he's heard of Tripitaka. Again, not clear how that has happened, but that's what happened.
I can't believe it! Do I recognise the place Tripitaka?
Yes. How on earth do you know my name?
Good question, Tripitaka. That's what I was thinking too.
On your knees. We fight for this master. Your name rings through the world as that of a saint. I should introduce myself. I'm Prime Minister of this land, the Kingdom of Buddha's Law.
So that's a complete non-answer. How do you know me? Your name rings through... Like, what? What does that mean? It's an answer without giving an answer. That is a Prime Minister, exactly. No wonder he's a politician, eh? Anyway, he explains...
It's a land of Buddha, but because of that, they actually don't really know how to deal with wickedness. So there's these bandits that are causing them problems, and they didn't really know what to do about it. Because they're peaceful, right? Monkeys, you know, he's got none of this problems. He just says we should fight them. But they can't fight them because Buddha's law is preventing it. There you go. It's a kind of catch 22. Yeah, that's just the way it goes. Then the king and queen enter. The king, like, he's delighted to see, like, Tripitaka and his disciples. So Like it would give them a, you know, be great honor if you just stay and you teach us things you know about Buddhism. And he asked the Prime Minister, like, is the banquet ready? The banquet? Like, Pigsy, like, he's won a watch. He's thinking, fantastic, let's just stay here. So it's like they're getting a, you know, like a state visit. That's what they're getting put up in the best digs. The Prime Minister's residence, right? This is, in previous episodes, they're staying in crappy places or out in the street. But here they're getting put up in the Prime Minister's.
Fantastic.
Pigsy's like getting torn into all the food and drink like it's gone out of fashion. And why not? Make hay when the sun shines, right? But the others are a wee bit embarrassed by him. The Prime Minister's daughter, Shan Lan, is at their service.
My daughter, Shan Lan. Anything you require, just tell her and she is at your service.
Oh. And you can just imagine the thoughts that just immediately ran through all of their heads. Well, maybe no Tripitaka, but all the other ones, for sure.
And they're all like her because, you know, as per usual, she's hot. Tripitaka, however, is a bit upset with him. We're actually going to be leaving here tomorrow. He doesn't want the other ones happy. Come on, give me a break. We've walked all this distance for you. We could just, you know, hole up here for a couple of weeks. That would be a nice little holiday. But no, you can't enjoy yourself. That's no Buddhism. So we'll be moving on tomorrow. Oh. Anyway, even Monkey's calling him out. He's saying, like, Buddha is such a killjoy. But whether it's good news or bad news, they're no going away the next day after all, because it looks like Tripitaka has come down with something called Tibetan fever. He's no in fit state to go walking the next day.
Very grave medically. Dry tongue and hot hand.
It's like the monkey equivalent of COVID-19 he's got. So he's having to self-isolate for 14 days and just monitor conditions. Shan Lin seems to be looking after him. She shouldn't really be doing that. You know, if he can probably get groceries delivered online, things like that. The next morning, however, really the plot turns, because it turns out that there's been a girl murdered.
How did it get there?
I don't know.
Strange.
Murder!
What was I?
It's the captain!
Let him see!
He notices there's a blood stain on Tripitaka's clothes near his neck. And the girl that was killed, it looks like she's been killed by a vampire. Could Tripitaka be a vampire?
Surely not. Oh, but hang on. Isn't that the name of this episode?
Pigsy, meanwhile, is out exploring the capital, and he's like trying to pick up some married woman. He drops that into conversation, like, you know, it's like, did I tell you I used to be the Marshal of the Heavenly Host?
Like, it's a pure coincidence, but he runs into the Prime Minister, who overhears this chat about Master of the Heavenly Host, and he's impressed.
And he says, listen, we've got an opening here. If you're interested, we've got the captain of the guard. So Pigsy, he beefs up his CV a wee bit, but he goes, well, I think I could probably do that.
So he's got the gig, right? But what's the chances? Who is the first two people he's going to run into? Yep.
We see the usual idiot in uniform. Is it fancy dress?
Don't be so rude.
This happens to be an official uniform. But then who did you steal it from?
This is mine and you're only jealous. I know the two of you. They made me a captain. They were delighted when I volunteered.
Monkey is disgusted with him, saying, it's your neck, not mine, you fat, flatulent fake hero. That's a nice wee bit of alliteration from Monkey. But we need to find an answer to this vampire problem. So let's lead a night patrol to try and find the vampire.
But hey-ho, Monkey's seen something.
And there it is. Trippy Taka with fangs.
We learned who it is anyway. It's Trippy Taka.
Oh yes, Trippy Taka. The master. I always... Eh? Not our master.
No doubt at all.
It is Trippy Taka. Oh no!
Can he be the vampire? With fangs. But they go back to Trippy Taka's bed and he's there fast asleep. Was it someone impersonating him? Trippy Taka, who is starting to get over his COVID, starts to recognise, hang on, is there something wrong here? But they're not going to tell him anything. But Monkey and Pigsy are... Listen, we think Trippy Taka is the vampire. He should be arrested. He's maybe just a wee bit loud. Trippy Taka overhears that about the vampire and denies it. I'm no a vampire.
No. I am not a monster. I don't think so anyway. Sandy, Pixie, you believe me, don't you?
Yes, I do believe. You're whatever you say you are, only are you the vampire?
And the outcome for this is, like, Buddhism is completely discredited. The king and the queen are now wanting to end this practice.
The queen suggests that actually maybe it's these Buddhist laws themselves that is causing what has happened to Trippy Taka. The king says,
do you think I should repeal all those Buddhist laws then, my dear?
Oh, I don't understand questions of politics. And yet, I mean, Buddhism just doesn't go with strong government.
And he declares this is no longer a Buddhist country. Priests should be driven from the land.
And anyone that helps round up Buddhists will be rewarded. But seriously, who's gonna do that?
Now that makes me think, Gianna, are you really the baddie? The narrator interjects and says, listen, like a thirsty man drinking salty water, desires can never be satisfied. They can be mastered through awakening.
And helping the king and the queen round up these Buddhists. Oh no. Is it? Surely no. He's gone bad.
Monkeys betrayed them.
You were sure you were right when you said that I was a traitor. You were. I'll cut your heads off.
I can't credit it even now. Monkey, the friend we loved, suddenly unrecognizable, become a swine.
I hardly think that's the right insult.
I think we can take it for read that he's read the book The Buddhist Delusion by Richard Dawkins. That's probably what's happened here. And now he's basically betrayed them.
Old Monkey the traitor sold you out. You always knew it.
He used to be a Buddhist. Now he's no.
Pigsy's, he's disgusted with Monkey. May you get a reincarnation as an enormous great smelly camel with three humps. And Monkey's now declaring and he says, listen, I'm an anti-Buddhist. Right, I used to be up for it, but now I'm no.
But surprise, surprise, it's actually the king and the queen who... are the vampires.
Trippy Taka, Sandy, Pigsy and the Prime Minister are to be executed. And Monkey is to be the executioner. They still can't believe he's going to be a traitor. A former friend.
But, of course, it's a double bluff. he unveils the king and the queen as the real baddies of the show. They are the vampires.
Pigsy then realises, oh, Monkey was only pretending. The land, therefore, is returned to Buddhism. The pilgrims leave, and Monkey apologises to Sandy and Pigsy for going a wee bit too far. When he bows to Pigsy, though, he bashes his head. Tripitaka, however, says, I knew what you were doing all the time, Monkey. When Monkey says, no chance, Tripitaka's like, no, no, I did. And if you don't believe me, I'll be giving you the headache sutra. Like, you know, believe me or else. Which Monkey laughs at and says, oh, maybe Tripitaka is starting to become a wee bit more streetwise from mixing with the likes of these guys. Is he telling the truth or is he... I don't know. I kind of got the impression that he was lying there, but who knows? So, what was the episode about? Well, I think in general, what I thought about this episode was it was one of the best in the series so far, primarily because the focus was on Tripitaka, but crucially, not Tripitaka in his boring guise, which he is really every week, right? All he seems to do is whinge at his disciples and get captured, then comes up with a little pithy line at the end. No. This week, we actually get some meat on the bones with Tripitaka, if you want to put it that way. And he's the, potentially, the baddie. Now, that adds an enormous amount of story content possibilities that could Tripitaka have gone bad? It's like that in real life as well. You know, if someone who is, I don't know, maybe too good to be true, you go, oh, no, no, they can't be a baddie. And then you read the paper one day and it's like, oh, I never saw that coming. Here, it sort of ends up as the situation that Tripitaka's know the baddie. After all, it's impersonated by these king and queen. But the chance that could have been is the fun thing. In fact, it wouldn't have been good to have not it just happened, like, for this week's episode. Let's just have kept it going into next week and maybe the week after. Like, three episodes and then it's resolved that, nah, listen, Tripitaka is definitely no vampire. How he would have got past this walk to India in the daylight, I'm not quite sure, right enough. So again, we'd probably have to tweak it a wee bit that vampires are not bothered with sunlight in this particular example. It does, though, and here, like, hands up, spoiler alert, the writers must have liked this a wee bit, because in next week's episode, we see the bold Tripitaka hitting up a disco and trying to crack on a woman. Now, we'll talk more about that next week when we get to it, but yeah, I'm guessing the writers at this point in the series, remember this is episode 19, so they've been on this for like 18 weeks now, and probably thinking, how are we going to keep coming up with new stories? Yeah, let's get a wee bit more from Trippy. Because ultimately, we can have the disciples fighting these baddies, but Trippy's not going to be doing any fighting. He's going to be doing loving. Oh yes, Tripitaka. Good man. Another thing I thought about this week's episode is, like, the Prime Minister. Right, he's an ally of our gang this week.
and he's only got so much power. So is it a little bit of an allegory for, you know, the checks and balances in political leadership? You know, in the UK, because it's an unwritten constitution, the Prime Minister can pretty much do anything, right? Because they've got their legislative authority coming from Parliament, where they've normally got a majority of the seats. And all their executive power is coming from the King, or used to be the King, right? Back in the day. So this sort of British Prime Minister has got so much power, which isn't the case in this episode, because there's a higher level. Is that kind of mirroring what, like, say, the United States checks and balances between the President and the Senate and the House of Representatives? Is it pretty much saying, don't crystallise all your power in one person because they could go bad? It might be, but having said that, the Prime Minister in this example, he's actually a goodie. So it could be a bit of a double bluff. It could be saying, if you go with the British system, then actually you're on a winner. You just don't realise you're on a winner. But I tell you what, see if you want to go to this alternative model. Yeah, it might sound good having a written constitution and then it can be pored over by legal brains, etc. But look at what you're risking. Imposters coming in, vampires terrorising your land. So, yes, in one sense you might think a written constitution is fantastic, but not at the price of vampires. Original transmissions. In the UK, the 21st of November 1980. In Japan, the 11th of February 1979. And in Australia, the 8th of June 1981.
Cunning and stupidity may belong together in an ape. A monkey who can recognise both could be on the long road to humanity.
What? A joke's a joke, but I think you went too far.
You don't think?
There's no need to get so angry.
Quite right. I don't know what you've got to be so offended about. It was you who threatened us.
I am offended. You thought I could betray you.
It's hard not to argue about such things, the Buddha says, but a good man is humble.
Humble? Humble him? Humble monkey, humble him!
I guess you're left with the little assumption that, like, the baddies in this episode are this, they're the vampires, but it's never really explicitly called out that Tripitaka definitely wasn't. It's just kind of glossed over. It's like, yeah, that's what happened, but you're probably just meant to take it as read that he's no, right? Because it's not brought up in the next episode. But it would have been good just to have kind of, just to been a wee bit more kind of strong on that. That wasn't the case. Anyway, a great episode. Join us next week for episode 20, Outrageous Coincidences.
You're listening to the Monkey Magic Podcast, an affectionate look back at the iconic Japanese TV series Monkey. Monkey is available on Blu-ray and DVD from Fabulous Films, and will be coming to a streaming service to you soon, no doubt. Meantime, please like, share, and if you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you at monkeymagicpodcast@gmail.com. Communication again received this week from XJ, who was asking about Lake Loch Nor from last week's episode, Land of the Locusts, asking, how do you spell Loch Nor? Is it the same as Loch Ness? No, it isn't, XJ. It's L-O-K, not L-O-C-H, which, as we know, is pronounced Loch, not Loch. Oddly enough, though, you're right in some sense, because they are monsters, and Loch Ness does have a monster, doesn't it? My name's JP. Thanks for listening.